Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. The Bible tells us, preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will be a worldwide revival of religion. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we have reference to this, where Paul says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition," a falling away from divine viewpoint truth, "and the appearing of a world leader," verse 4 says, "who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And adding to that, Revelation chapter 13, we have a little more reference to this one who sets himself up as deity for all the world to worship. Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 through 6. "And they worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast." The dragon is Satan, the beast is the Antichrist. "And they worship the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." And then beginning at verse 11 of chapter 13, "I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them who dwell on it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast that had the wound by a sword and did live." And so the picture that we have here in Scripture is very clear, that there will be, preceding the coming of Jesus Christ, and these are events describing that immediate point in time, that there will be a great revival of religion. Not of true faith in God, but of religion. And it will eventually be centered in the worship of one man who will be the world political ruler, the Antichrist. Now, this revival of religion that will be brought about will be the result of the influence of various false prophets and false Christs. Immediately that the Lord Jesus began training his disciples, and right on through his ministry and to the very end, he warned them again and again that they and we who were to follow them must be prepared for people who come along, claim to speak for God, but who do not. In Matthew 24, verse 5, for example, the Lord said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." People who come claiming to possess the real truth about God. Now, it has always been a problem for Christians who know the truth to envision a world where everybody would accept someone who claims to be the Christ. And it seemed that we just sort of pass that off and say, no, that cannot be. And nobody would be dumb enough to believe that somebody could stand up and say, hey, I'm Christ, and that there would be any number of people except a few kooks who would believe it. But that's not the picture that you have in the Bible. The Scripture says that there will be a mass movement toward accepting these false claims and these false Christs. And immediately preceding the coming of Christ, the world will have been prepared to accept just such a person. And eventually that person will be the Antichrist. And people will very readily and honestly, they're not just going to pretend they believe, down deep in their hearts, they really will believe that this person is the Christ, that he is the promised one. Now, how does that come about? We are living now in this, the age of Aquarius, in the preparation for that kind of mental outlook which will enable vast numbers of people to accept a false Christ. It is going to happen, and it takes preparation for that to come about. Now, these false Christs are going to seek to convince people of their claims, we read here in Revelation, with their miracles. They are miracles which are performed by demonic powers. They are miracles of a psychic nature, which we're hearing and seeing more and more today. In Matthew 24, beginning at verse 24, Jesus says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, this passage makes it very clear that people are going to be attracted by demonstrations of supernatural power of such a nature as to almost deceive the people who are going to heaven. Almost to deceive those who have been elected to eternal life and who are believing in the true Christ. The demonstrations of power will be such that people will stop and give consideration to this. Could this really be from God? Is this for real? Is this the thing we've been looking for? And furthermore, Jesus says that these Christs will be characterized by a secret approach. And he says, that's one of your signs. Be aware that they're going to say, the Christ has arrived. Where? Well, he's over here. He's in this country. He's residing here. He's in seclusion here. He's in this mountain. He's out in this cave. He's getting ready to be proclaimed publicly. Jesus says, the minute you hear that, you know that that's a false Christ. Because when the real Christ, the appointed of God, Jesus of Nazareth, arrives on the scene, it will be open, like a bolt of lightning that crashes across the sky. And everyone will see it. There'll be nothing secret about it. It will be open. Now, some of you have become aware, you've been asking questions about one of the classic current examples of this issue of the false Christ. And false Christ, which have as their objective the establishment of Satan's religion, Eastern mysticism, as an accepted lifestyle. I've been interested in listening to several of you who have discovered in a variety of contacts with people that you don't know, and you have suddenly discovered that as you talk to them about religious matters, that they believe in the basic principles we've been talking about, the Eastern mysticism of Hinduism, which is Satan's basic religion descended from the Babylonian mysteries. And suddenly, now that you've been alerted to it, you're amazed that indeed the average Joe American, while he may not use the technical terms of mysticism, it is updated in scientific 20th century language, but he is still basically believing the very doctrines of demons that we've been dealing with. Now, one of the prime examples of the false Christ had millions of people up in a frenzy of excitement and of concern, even Christians. And religious leaders were being bombarded with questions about the arrival of the Christ that they had heard about. This came about as a result of a full-page ad in major newspapers around the country. And I mean full-page, the kind that calls for big, big money. On April the 25th, 1982, this year, a few months ago, all over the country, these full-page ads exploded in American newspapers, and they were announcing the imminent revelation of the world Savior, the arrival of the Christ. The ad, heading the announcement of the arrival of the Christ, read as follows: "The world has had enough of hunger, injustice, war. In answer to our calling for help, as world teacher for all humanity, the Christ is now here." Big, bold letters across the top of the page. Now, that was an impressive thing to read. Then it went on to give details about this imminently scheduled event. First of all, the question was, how will we recognize him? And the answer was, look for a modern man concerned with modern problems, political, economical, and social. Since July 1977, the Christ has been emerging as a spokesman for a group or community in a well-known modern country. He is not a religious leader, but an educator in the broadest sense of the word. You got that? Portraying themselves as educators. The battle, folks, is for the mind. And pointing the way out of our present crises, we will recognize him by his extraordinary spiritual potency, the universality of his viewpoint, and his love for all humanity. He comes not to judge, but to aid and to inspire. Then the next question the advertisement asks in bold letters across is, who is the Christ? And the answer is, throughout history, humanity's evolution has been guided by a group of enlightened men. And please remember that one of the doctrines of demons is evolution. And it's interesting that right here in this ad, that word is used. And we're going to be taking that doctrine up in time here, the doctrine of evolution. This is one of the doctrines that demons teach. Please understand, people will think you're really very unintellectual if you go around talking about evolution as something begun by a fellow named Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin simply crystallized what had been at the heart of the Hindu religion and had been for centuries embedded into the Babylonian mystical religious systems. Darwin simply gave it modern scientific terminology. But the concepts were no different. The justifications were no different. There was nothing changed. He simply brought it into a scientific era. So, throughout history, humanity's evolution has been guided by a group of enlightened men, the Masters of Wisdom. They have remained largely in the remote desert and mountain places of earth, working mainly through their disciples who live openly in the world. This message of the Christ's reappearance has been given primarily by such a disciple trained for his task for over 20 years. At the center of this spiritual hierarchy stands the world teacher, Lord Maitreya, known by Christians as the Christ. And as Christians await the second coming, so the Jews await the Messiah. The Buddhists, the fifth Buddha, the Muslims, the Imam Mahdi, and the Hindus await Krishna. These are all names for one individual. His presence in the world guarantees that there will be no Third World War. So the name, so that you understand the name of the Christ, in case you meet him, is Lord Maitreya. M-A-I-T-R-E-Y-A. Lord Maitreya. He is here. He has arrived. He is on the scene. He is imminently to be revealed. And he is part of the great spiritual hierarchy, and he has a forerunner who is announcing him. Now, the next question the ad inquires about is, what is he saying? And Lord Maitreya says this, my task will be to show you how to live together peacefully as brothers. This is simpler than you imagine, my friends, for it requires only the acceptance of sharing. Bingo! Now you have slipped in not only the concept of the doctrine of demons of evolution, but very subtly the doctrine of demons of socialism. How can you be content with the modes within which you now live, when millions starve and die in squalor, when the rich parade their wealth before the poor, when each man is his neighbor's enemy, when no man trusts his brother? Allow me to show you the way forward into a simpler life where no man lacks, where no 2 days are alike, where the joy of brotherhood manifests through all men. Take your brother's need as the measure for your action and solve the problems of the world. So, what is he teaching? Well, Lord Maitreya is going to be teaching an economic system of socialism. The next question this full-page ad asked was, when will we see him? And the answer is, he has not yet declared his true status, and his location is known to only a very few disciples. One of these has announced that soon the Christ will acknowledge his identity, and within the next 2 months will speak to humanity throughout a worldwide television and radio broadcast. His message will be heard inwardly, telepathically, by all people in their own language. From that time, with His help, we will build a new world. Well, of course, the 2 months has passed, and we were all disappointed in the fact that He has not yet revealed Himself. But Lord Maitreya is not the figment of somebody's imagination. He really does exist. The concluding summary on a page says this, and it puts it all together. Without sharing, there can be no justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Without peace, there can be no future. On May the 14th, 1982, a few months ago in California, a news conference was held to present this information that was in the newspaper and a follow-up concerning Lord Maitreya. It was held at a place called the Terra Center in North Hollywood, California, and there were present 150 newsmen from all the major national and international newspapers and TV networks. Now, the Terra organization itself is a rather interesting group, and let me just brief you about that, because that does come up as a question as to what the Terra organization is. And I'm reading from The Gospel Truth, July 1982, published by the Southwest Radio Church. The Terra organization is a very impressive group. The article has this to say about it. The newspaper ads proclaiming Maitreya as the Christ appeared under the sponsorship of the Terra Press, London, England. Terra Center, New York, New York. The Terra Center, North Hollywood, California. Now, the man who is the forerunner announcing the arrival of the Christ is a man named Benjamin Krem, C-R-E-M-E. You may want to remember that name. He is a significant personality, Benjamin Krem. He is the one who conducted the conference at the Terra Center, of which there are 125 in the United States and Canada. Now, the history of Terra extends back in time many centuries before the O'Hare estate in the movie Gone with the Wind. According to the Encyclopedia of Mythology by Robert Graves, pages 331-332, Terra, a Hindu goddess and mother of Brihaspati, bore an illegitimate son by another Hindu god, Soma. The child was so handsome and intelligent that both the husband of Terra and her lover claimed him as their son. Maitreya, who supposedly was born 2,600 years ago, can be identified with the illegitimate son of Terra. Therefore, it is not surprising that the Terra organization is proclaiming him to be the Messiah. The legend of Terra and her godlike son was incorporated into other religions and became the basis for Druidism. Now, those of you who have been educated in the Babylonian mystery religions recognize, of course, that here is another variation of Nimrod and Semiramis and the son Tammuz. Here he's called Terra. Terra Hill, located in central Ireland, was the center for Celtic Druid worship, as noted in The Celtic World by Barry Cunliffe, pages 170-171, and in The Celts by Gerhard Herm, page 254. Druidism and the worship of Terra became synonymous with the appearance of the Illuminati movement under the guise of the Masonic Lodge. The Encyclopedia Britannica provides this information. Druids, United Ancient Order of, a friendly society founded as an imitation of the ancient Druids, in London in 1781. They adopted Masonic rites and spread to America and Australia. Throughout Benjamin Krem's statement concerning Maitreya and also in Terra's publication, Illuminati terminology is common. The guiding and controlling influence behind Maitreya is declared to be a spiritual hierarchy identified as the Masters of Wisdom, the Illumined Ones. According to Benjamin Krem, one of the Masters of Wisdom has advised him to declare Maitreya, or friend, as the Christ. In the printed interview with Krem that appeared in the May 10, 1982 edition of the Los Angeles Herald Examiner, Krem is reported as saying, "I have been in rapport with one of the Masters of Wisdom for many years. I was first contacted by him in early January 1969, and over the last 9 years prepared by him and trained by him. The Masters of Wisdom are really the disciples of Christ," by which they mean Maitreya when they use the word Christ. The Masters of Wisdom make up a group of very advanced, involved, illuminated, and from all points of view, perfect men. One of the symbols used in Terra publications is the illuminate pyramid with the all-seeing eye, which you know is on the American dollar bill. The propaganda of Krem and the so-called illumined ones is that Antichrist has already appeared in the form of Hitler and others. He explained that Antichrist is really the destructive power of God, working to eliminate anything that needs to be destroyed in order for the true Messiah, Maitreya, to make his appearance. The Encyclopedia Britannica comments thusly on the Illuminati, a short-lived movement founded on May 1, 1776, by Adam Weishaupt, a former Jesuit. The members of this secret society call themselves Perfectibilists. Their founder's aim was to replace Christianity by a religion of reason, humanism. They often managed to gain a commanding position. The Encyclopedia Britannica goes on to say that in the early days of the United States, the Illuminati worked through the Masons. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were Masons. After Adams became disillusioned with the movement, he accused Jefferson of using the Masonic lodges for subversive Illuminati purposes. Rosicrucians, Masons, and the Illuminati are all interrelated. And the Rosicrucians official handbook, page 74, informs its membership as to how those who have become perfect may become members of the Illuminati. While it is generally reported in reference books that the Illuminati began in 1776, the movement has been traced back to the Druids at the time of Christ and even further back to Egyptian and Oriental mysticism, the second millennium B.C. Therefore, evidence would indicate that this attempt by the Masters of Illumination to bring forth a Messiah is not new. It can be traced all the way back to Satan in the Garden of Eden when he would entice Eve to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge or wisdom. Whether Mr. Krem will be successful in deceiving the world into worshiping this man as the Christ remains to be seen. There are certainly some aspects of the bold movement that coincide with the Antichrist of Revelation. There are other aspects of the movement in which we have some difficulty connecting with the rise, reign, and fall of the Antichrist. Unquote. So that's a Terra organization, an organization which is into the occult, and an organization which has some very forceful influence in the world today. Now, the news conference, which was conducted by Benjamin Krem, was a conference in which he presented himself as the divinely adopted forerunner of Lord Maitreya. Now, it might be interesting to answer the question that naturally arises as to who Benjamin Krem is. The article here goes on to say, Benjamin Krem is a 58-year-old Scot, an artist by profession. Since his early youth, he has been interested in the esoteric, the areas of ageless wisdom, which has been transmitted from one generation to the next. In 1959, he received a telepathic message from his own master, a member of the hierarchy, an event which came as a complete surprise to him. At that time, he was given to understand, among other things, that the return of the Christ was at hand, and that he would play an active role in it himself. Later, Krem received communications which came directly from Maitreya himself. In 1975, he was given the mission of announcing publicly the coming of Maitreya, although at the time, Krem did not yet know precisely when that would occur. Some months after the world teacher had reached his center, somewhere in the modern world, from his residence in the Himalayas, Krem received the first public message from Maitreya. These have continued up to the present. The messages that Krem has been receiving from Maitreya embody a program of world socialism. The message Krem supposed to receive from his Lord on January 5, 1978 stated, "Throughout the world there are men, women, and little children who have not even the essentials to stay alive. They crowd the cities of many of the poorest countries in the world. This crime fills me with shame. My brothers, how can you watch these people die before your eyes and call yourselves men? My plan is to save these, my little ones, from certain starvation and needless death. My plan is to show you that the way out of your problems is to listen again to the true voice of God within your hearts, to share the produce of this most bountiful of worlds among you, brothers and sisters everywhere." Unquote. Now there again you see this concept to answer the true voice of God which is within you, the sense that truth lies within man because man himself is God. So here we have this picture. And Benjamin Krem, by the way, for those who have heard him, is described simply as a charismatic, hypnotic speaker. When he speaks, you are captivated by what he has to say, and he carries an appearance and a sound of authority. So Benjamin Krem called a news conference, brought in major elements of news communication media from around the world, and presented Lord Maitreya as the Christ, as being now on the scene to fulfill what religions have been looking for, including Christianity, all these years. He told that news conference that Maitreya was born 2,600 years ago in the Himalaya Mountains. During those 2,600 years, Maitreya is said to have been evolving into the perfect spiritual being until he became a god, the Messiah of the world. Again, there's that concept of evolving to godhood, which is at the heart of Satan's religious systems. It's one of the doctrines of demons. The word Maitreya is the ancient Sanskrit word for friend, which suggests the kind of image that he portrays to mankind, the loving friend of humanity. Krem announced that Lord Maitreya had arrived now and is residing in southeastern London. He arrived there from Pakistan. He's awaiting his day of declaration. Now, the day of unveiling of Lord Maitreya was to be June 21, 1982. And we have missed it for some reason. Something happened. But you wouldn't believe how many millions who were impressed by this and who were even Christians looking forward to see what was going to happen on June 21st. All mankind on that day was supposed to hear Lord Maitreya's voice in his own mind, in his own language, announcing his arrival to begin the golden age of Aquarius on earth as the Christ. Benjamin Krem claims that his Messiah will confirm his claims with great wonders and miracles with his own Pentecost that he will produce to demonstrate his own powers. The article on the Gospel Truth says this in an interview that appeared May 10, 1982, in the Los Angeles Herald Examiner. Krem said, "We shall see his face on our television sets, but he will not speak. His thoughts, his ideas, will seep into our minds in our own language. It will be an inner telepathic contact which he will establish with the whole of humanity. We shall hear him in English, while the Russians hear him in Russian, the Chinese in Chinese, the Dutch in Dutch, the French in French, the Italians in Italian, and so on and so on. Simultaneously, throughout the world, hundreds of thousands of spontaneous, apparently miraculous healings will occur to reinforce the fact that he is indeed the Christ that we are watching. And soon after the day of declaration, he will introduce to the world 12 of his masters, his disciples. One of them will be the disciple who was Jesus in Palestine 2,000 years ago, and he will be in charge of, as he is now, the Christian churches wherever they are found." Unquote. So what you have here is something that, again, you must realize is not somebody making up stories. If you sit here and say, nobody's face could appear on television and communicate to me in English without saying anything, you're wrong. That is exactly what demons can do. That is exactly the power of the demonic world. And the thing that is interesting about Benjamin Krem and Lord Maitreya is that indeed you do have that combination that you see in the book of the Revelation of a false prophet who is exalting an antichrist. Now, Lord Maitreya comes from the background of Pakistan and of Asia, but he is living in London now. And some people have found that an interesting speculation, which is all that it is, that perhaps the antichrist, while he will arise out of the Roman Empire, does not necessarily himself have to be one who is born within the context of the old Roman Empire nations. In any case, these two are a very clear analogy to the sort of thing that the world is going to be confronted with. And indeed, if suddenly there are healings, then isn't that interesting? And you may be thinking that this is a lie again. It is not. People who are into the occult can heal. They do heal. They have that capacity. Those of you who have listened to the series that dealt with Edgar Cayce are aware of the fact that this man, parading under the guise of being a Christian, had great powers to direct people to the medical solutions that they needed for physical healing. And he got it through self-hypnosis and communication with the spirit world. And the spirit world knows our physical problems, and it knows how to provide, indeed, solutions in the way of healing. On one occasion, you perhaps will remember, while Edgar Casey was under a hypnotic trance, and he was getting the healing given to him from a man that had written and made an inquiry, suddenly the communication stopped and broke off right in the middle. And the people who were taking notes couldn't understand what had happened. When Casey came back to consciousness, they told him that right in the middle of the diagnosis and of the healing, the prescription, you broke off. They found shortly afterward that at the very time that Casey was under the hypnotic spell receiving the prescription for the healing, the man died. And the demonic world knew that too. We are dealing with forces that if it were not for the fact that we are Christians and that greater is He in the Spirit of God who is in us than he that is in the world, we would have a lot to be frightened of. Perhaps now, in some degree, you may have a little sensitiveness as to why the people who live in the tribulation will scream out in holy hellish terror for the mountains to fall down upon them and just crush them and wipe them out of existence. It is going to be terror like you wouldn't believe. And it is going to be powers that we are mistaken in thinking do not exist. This is why people will believe the Antichrist. This is why they will give credence to what the false prophet says, because they will see the power, the psychic powers of the demonic world performing impressive supernatural events. So this man has missed his unveiling to begin the golden age of Aquarius. And by the way, the age of Aquarius is the age of the exaltation of the female goddess. And that's why the age of Aquarius is an interesting point for us to have come to in astronomical terms in the era of the women's liberation movement. More about that later. Benjamin Krem claims that his claims are going to be confirmed by the great kinds of miracles, such as on Pentecost, and his program is to bring peace to all humanity. And that, again, is what the Bible tells us is going to be the false claim, and people are going to believe it. And the Bible tells us that people are going to run around and saying, thank God we've got peace, peace, peace. And the Lord says they're going to say that at the very point of their imminent destruction. The article says, quoting from an interview with Krem that appeared in the May 10, 1982 edition of the Los Angeles Herald Examiner, Maitreya is here now for a number of reasons. The major concern of the Christ is that we should not destroy ourselves. He is here to make sure that we do not annihilate the world in a third world war. There will be no third world war. We will be saved by the Christ. And there you have it, folks, for your comfort. There will be no third world war because the Christ has arrived here to preserve us from it. Peace. That is the rallying cry. Now, that's an interesting statement because when you think about the real Jesus, the real Christ, Jesus the Christ of God who is coming back to earth, the Bible tells us that the real Jesus is coming back to earth to bring all the nations of the world to the battles, to the campaign of Armageddon. You see how Satan deceives? His man says, I'm going to bring you peace. But notice Revelation 19, verse 11, what the real Christ says. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him, Jesus, the real Christ, was called faithful and true. And in his righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's what Jesus Christ is coming back to do, to make war. Notice verses 15 and 16, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when he comes back, he is going to come back as the supreme conquering warrior, and none will be able to stand up against him. One more passage that's interesting here concerning the Christ, in contrast to Lord Maitreya. In the book of Micah, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we read, "And he shall judge among the people," that is the Christ, "and shall rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it." Indeed, Jesus Christ, after having brought the nations of the world to their knees in that final campaign of Armageddon, will bring peace. But he will bring it because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and he will enforce it. And it is interesting that then nations will destroy their weapons. Then disarmament will come. This that you have heard here read in Micah is the only time, and will be the only time, when disarmament has brought peace. If you know anything about the Bible, and if you follow the implications of this scripture, you will realize that all talk of disarmament as providing peace is satanic delusion. There has never been a time in the world when disarmament has brought peace. The only thing that has brought peace is the scriptural doctrine of warfare, which says you are so strong that your enemy can be destroyed by you if he dares to attack you. That provides the world with peace, and nothing else ever has, and nothing else ever will. But when Jesus Christ returns, they're going to take all their weapons and they're going to melt them down and turn them into useful products, and that disarmament will bring peace. And you notice that it will be the kind of peace, verse 4 there in Micah 4 says, of capitalism. Every one of you people will have your own vine, and you'll be able to snip off your own grapes. Every one of you will have your own fig tree, and you'll be able to indulge all your own fig Newtons to your heart content. Now, this, of course, are suggestive. I don't want you to get upset because you don't like grapes or figs. There will be other things. Whatever there is, they'll be yours. And it'll be a capitalist system, and it'll be your own vine. It'll be your own fig tree. And you can chop it down. You can do whatever you wish with it, or you can enjoy it. And this has been ensured by the mouth of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, the Lord of military might. That's the promise of the real Christ. What a contrast to the false Lord Maitreya. Maitreya claims to have been in Jesus Christ when he died on the cross, and that's why he says he can be claimed to be Savior and God. Benjamin Krem claims that Maitreya will be the Christ of all religions, and so that everybody can follow him. The Maitreya program for mankind was revealed in an interview by Benjamin Krem, which was printed by the Denver Post, by a reporter who had interviewed Benjamin Krem. And that program would be of interest to you. Here's the plan that Lord Maitreya has for the world. It says, "Added insight into the program of Maitreya for Mankind was revealed in an interview by Jack Kisling that appeared in the Sunday, March 21st, 1982 edition of the Denver Post." This is all comparatively recent. We quote in part, "Benjamin Krem told me that not only has the Christ been back on earth since July of 1977, but that sometime in the next 8 or 9 weeks will reveal himself in a worldwide day of declaration, at which time the millennium will have dawned. He explained that by the Christ he means not Jesus Christ, but the Master of Wisdom, of whom Jesus and such other spiritual leaders as Muhammad, Brahma, and Krishna are disciples. Asked what will happen after the great Givanic day, Krem said, progress will be slow but steady. World needs and world resources will be reassessed and redistributed, and the groundwork for a single global religion will be started and probably flower fully within 20 years. Won't the advent of a single world religion annoy the hierarchies of the current Orthodox religions?" I asked. "More than that," he said with a smile, "they will be shocked. I dare say they will be among the last to accept the New Age. But he said confidently, it will come anyway, because it must. We will begin to live, he said, as potential gods. And there again, you have the promise, the concept of Eastern mysticism, that what Lord Maitreya is promising to all of you is that you are coming back to become gods. The same thing that the serpent, Satan, promised to Eve. And by the way, you notice again the little plug that the devil gave in the Garden of Eden for evolution. When he appeared to Eve, he could have appeared as the beautiful creature that he is. Instead, he came as a serpent, because that subtly declared that man and animal are all the same, that there is no difference, that they are all related. And so an animal approaching with wisdom and speaking is just as good as a human being coming and speaking. And apparently, that should have been one of the first clues to Eve that a statement was being made through the use of that serpent that she missed. The false Christ will project a spirit of mercy, and he will appeal thereby to the masses with Satan's economic system of socialism, which will be designed to remove from producers that which they have secured and give it to those who don't have it. Now, the consciousness revolution of the 60s began with rebellion against authority and the use of psychedelic drugs. And remember that it is the consciousness revolution of the 60s that began preparing for someone to be able to come on the scene like Lord Maitreya and make the kinds of claims that he has made and get millions of people who are taking him seriously and listening to him. That is because from the early 60s on, the final nail was hammered home in the mentality of American society and its preparation for the acceptance of a false Christ and for the acceptance of all the doctrines that Satan produces. This consciousness revolution to prepare for accepting of the big lie of Satan began with the problem of authority. As we all know, authority begins with God. He is sovereign. He is the one who calls all the plays, and the Bible is very clear that nobody tells God what to do. Then God said, in my world, I have to build on authority, lines of authority. That was necessary in the Garden of Eden before sin entered the human race. It was even more necessary after man himself became degenerated with a sin nature. Lines of authority. Satan recognized that one of the first steps he had to take in breaking down American society was to break down the attitude of Americans toward authority. The average American, some of us can remember, we used to have a little phrase. I can remember using this as a teenager against something that was wrong or something we shouldn't do. We would use the phrase, that's illegal, whether it was or not. And as I look back now, I realize we were drilled in the concept that we are a nation of laws. We do not have a king. We do not have a plutocracy. We don't have some elite group, knowingly at least we don't, who governs our lives. We are governed by properly made laws that everybody is subject to. The American society, with its Christian background, says, this is what the Bible says, you obey properly constituted lines of authority. And it was innate in Americans to obey the rules, to obey the laws. There were always the rule breakers, there were always the rebels, but not on a large, widespread scale. But starting in the 60s came the consciousness revolution. And along with it came, first of all, the mistrust over against anybody who was over 30 years of age. And the advice from some of the leaders of the college revolutionary groups to young people to be prepared to kill their parents and to resist parental authority, to resist the authority of teachers. It was then that we saw college kids walking into the office of the president of a college and telling him to sit down while they took over and impose their regulations upon the school because they didn't like the rules that were being made by those who were in authority. They wanted, as students, to be put in charge, which is comparable to putting the insane asylum in the hands of the lunatics who inhabit it to make the rules and the regulations. The lines of authority were everywhere. Parents, schools, teachers, for law officers, for government leaders. Who trusts anybody in government today? One of the results is this antagonism toward government authorities. We don't trust government leaders. Their lines of authority have been fractured because of the attitude of the American mentality today. The authority of pastor teachers, the authority of employers. And you see, the deceit that Satan has inspired concerning authority is that if those who are in places of authority exercise the authority legitimately and with proper intent, with proper attitude, and seeking to do it under the control and the guide of biblical principles, that exercising authority might cause that person to be rebellious. That's why parents sometimes are told, don't spank your children. It'll make them rebel against you. It will make them be secretive about the evils that they want to do. And modern psychiatry has told you not to spank your children, and you say, oh yeah, if I spank, then they'll do this evil secretly. Well, what has changed? What has improved? Is the problem with the fact that you have exercised your authority as a parent? Or is the problem indeed with the fact that this child has chosen to be a rebel, which is what happened in the 60s? The rallying cry was, be a rebel, break the rules, resist authority. So if a parent who has wisdom and experience says to a child or to a youngster, to an older youngster in the family, don't do this, you must not do this, this is wrong, and the child wants to do it anyhow, and then he sneaks around and does it, the parent is told, that was wrong. You put pressure. You shouldn't have done that. No. The error was not in the part of the parent. The problem was that the child did not understand that God expected him to obey his parents. That when the Scripture says, children, obey your parents, that's what it meant. It meant accepting the authority of your parents within the context of your life. And that's what we're facing today, that properly constituted authority is being frightened from being exercised, so that the kids are running across the parents, and the parents have the impression that they will cause the children to rebel. But the Bible says not to spare the rod on the child, but what it will do is it will drive foolishness far from him. You know what that means? That tells us that the rebellion is already there. But breaking the will of the child at an early stage will teach him lines of authority so that he can control himself, he can subscribe to God's final authority and to the Word of God. This expression of rebellion in the 60s came to be known as an alternate lifestyle. The term alternate lifestyle is a euphemism. That means it's a nice word to cover up every form of rebellion against God's moral laws and lines of authority. Why should homosexuals and lesbians be called gays? That's a euphemism. I don't want to go into details this morning, but if you have any opportunity to understand what goes on in homosexual relations and in the relations of lesbian women with one another, you will readily realize that there's nothing gay about it. It is degrading and it is demeaning in an unbelievable way. It is indeed, as the Bible portrays it, a very vile sin and under the great condemnation of God. It is not without reason that oral herpes has run rampant among homosexuals. And someone told me yesterday that he read a report where they are dying by the hundreds from the disease. It is the process of their sexual practices that they call being gay that is so loathsome that God has brought now in our day this condemnation that man cannot do anything about. Now that is rebellion. But there is a God who says your alternate lifestyle, you can call it a nice term, it is still vile, it is still against my moral laws, and you still are a rebel, and I will deal with you. Now, the acceptance of Eastern mysticism at about the same time by the college campus movements accelerated the pursuit of alternate lifestyles and of altered states of consciousness. Now, these altered states of consciousness brought people into communication with demonic spirits and the experience of psychic powers, the experience of demonic powers. The people who were on psychedelic drugs did see colors. They did see all the kinds of art that you see that's called psychedelic art. They did hear voices. They did have communications, and the voices and the communications that they had from the demonic world were the instructions of these doctrines of demons that we're looking over, that we're studying. The doctrines of demons, which they learned during these altered states of the mind, have now permeated every level of American society. They have become the American's frame of reference. And it is important that you understand that when you talk to the average Joe American, to him, God is an impersonal force out there, and something of deity resides in each of us. That's the way he thinks of it. He does not think of a personal God out there that he is going to have to face. He looks upon himself as someone who is progressing to godhood. He does not look upon himself as someone whose actions can be condemned, because after all, he is associated with deity. Therefore, there can be no right and wrong. There are no rules. What he does must be accepted. Now, the interesting thing is that science is now joining hands with religion and researching psychic powers, and this is going to make a powerful union, a union powerful enough to establish a one-world religion of scientific mysticism, and that's where we're going, to scientific mysticism, and with that, a world government, the world government of the Antichrist. So what Benjamin Krem, in his introduction of Lord Maitreya and all of Lord Maitreya's programs and claims, is a preview of what is going to come to this world in the form of the Antichrist and of the false prophet. And the world is being prepared by scientific mysticism for that kind of a union. You and I, because we know the Word of God, are aware of the deceit that Satan is playing upon the world today, and of the doctrines of demons which are being accepted, not in the old religious language of Hinduism. That has been put aside. It's all in the language of science. And science has gone back to its original relationship to the mystical powers. The science that once was centered in how to change lead into gold, the old alchemy idea, and by some mystical process. And science finally broke away from that. Now it's coming right back to it again, as it is realizing that there are powers out there that they cannot explain. And they are trying to gather together scientific instruments to analyze what is taking place. So I don't know where Lord Maitreya is going to go, or where Benjamin Krem's role as forerunner will finally bring him. But we are dealing with people who are real, people who are now in Satan's control, and people who are preparing us for the end time. And all of this geared again to the concept Satan's world religion of Eastern mysticism. Tonight, we're going to look at a few more of the doctrines of Eastern mysticism so that you have a clear picture of what they believe, because it comes under subtle language, scientific terms. You must be prepared to be able to understand what it is that people are saying to you if you ever hope to be able to take them back to Scripture and show them how Satan has deluded them. Be grateful to God that you do know the true Christ.